Good morning, everybody. Here, a little bit of changing in gear here, but talking about the one of the very important component of the immune system, which is dendritic cells. Some of you have heard about that. And basically most about one of the hallmarks of their life cycle, which is maturation. And that part basically determines the final response we get with respect to that Th1 and Th2 that Sylvia referred to. The outline of my talk would be, I just want to locate the position of dendritic cells in the immune system. And then a little bit on their biology and life cycle, and then focus on maturation and how maturation can be modeled and how that model could be useful for us. You have heard lots of this, but I just go to a quick review here that immune system has two big arms, innate immunity and adaptive immunity. In the first level of barrier is innate immunity, which is skin, epithelial cells in lung and intestine. And when any pathogen passes that, the first line of defense would be these two population of cells, which is one is macrophages and the other is dendritic cells. I will talk about dendritic cells later on, but focusing on macrophages, the first response you see are coming from macrophages. So they start to phagocyte, non-specifically the pathogen, and start to secrete many cytokines that are basically called pre-inflammatory cytokines, and those cytokines call for all other cells. That could be kind of a danger announcement to the system. Then many other cells will be attracted to the location, monocyte, neutrophils, more dendritic cells, mast cells, basophils, and eosinophils, and all of those groups. And these cells have a kind of receptor on there called PER, or pattern recognition receptors, which are receptors for pathogen associated molecular pattern, PAMP. So these are, in fact, receptor for danger signals, which some of you are familiar with that. And one of the very important ones are TLRs. And these TLRs, I brought a couple of most important ones here, and for this is each of those, some of these mentioned, and these are those actual danger signals. Like double-stranded RNA is an RNA which is produced during the replication of a virus. Single-strand RNA is another, like genetic material of some viruses. LPS and CPG, those are some of those danger signals. So this is the innate R. On the other side, the third level of protection is happening in adaptive arm. And over there, you have a bunch of those cells, basically T cells and B cells. And how these two are connected, that's where the dendritic cells come to the play. The connection between these two systems basically done by dendritic cells, a little bit by B cells, because B cells are also antigen-presenting cells, but basically, the connection between these two happening by dendritic cells, and this is the main job they are doing. So they are kind of professional, specialized macrophage. They do the phagocytosis, but not in with respect to like eliminate the pathogen, in order to recognize the pathogen, and eventually introduce them there. So this is where they are located. And why they are important? Because their unique role, there are lots of hope of them to be used as antigen carrier for designing vaccine against infectious disease or cancer therapy. And for the cancer therapy, there is a really high interest in using dendritic cells. And also to modulate the response, because those are decision maker cells. They are actually decide that this goes to Th1, this response, or to Th2. So they could be used for that application. And also to control some of those, again, because of this capacity, control some of the those. This is like allergy, which is a TH2 disease, the source of disease, by those tolerogenic disease, so-called. And also they are of interest for transplant. One of the cells that are used for giving tolerance against transplant are disease. They take disease from like the host and make them tolerize to the antigens from the donor. So these are the applications to say why they are important. An animation here on their life cycle. Dendritic cells basically originated from bone marrow. So they are directly coming from bone marrow. And they locate in the areas that they are exposed mostly to the antigen, to the outside world. The skin, lung, mostly here, everywhere in the body except the brain, you see dendritic cells, but mostly in this area. Where they expose to those pathogens, those danger signals, and they uptake them, and they start the process of maturation, which is what we are focusing. They change their morphology, they start to migrate to the local lymph nodes, where they meet T cells. And that's their main job here. They introduce that antigen, that pathogen to the T cells here, and after that, they just die there, and this is the end of their life, and T cells get clonal proliferation, then differentiation, some of those become memory T cells, and the effector T cells get out from the lymph node and go and find those pathogens and attack them and basically eliminate them. So based on this, the specifics about the maturation. One is the morphology will be changing. These are the events that eventually I like to model to be based and made on them. So we want to focus on this. So morphology will be changed, and this is what actually happens in the culture. These are the actual cells in the culture. You see how immature turns to the mature one. And they reduce the capacity of uptaking antigen. They are not able anymore to uptake antigen. They increase the capacity of presenting antigen, and that's what they are supposed to do. And for that, they have to do some change on their surface molecules, such as MHC class 1 and class 2, and co-stimulatory molecules, which are part of that danger signal. Danger signal causes the co-stimulation. And I can go through this in detail if somebody has more question. And the immigration capacity, the immigration changing, they start to change their location going to lymph node because that's where they should. And the cytokine and chemokine and all the products they are secreting will be changing. There will be a shift, different set of cytokines. And why study maturation? Some of those has been said, but in our literature, maturation is considered, like these two guys, Dr. Steinman and Dr. Bancherow, are pioneers in the dendritic cell studies. Steinman is the person who discovered this cell. They say this is one of the four, they define four specialized characteristics for dendritic cell, and they say maturation is one of them, and actually the most important one of them. Because it also deals with antigen presentation, another character of those diseases, and also with the location. And inhibition of maturation has been reported as an evasion mechanism for many pathogens, whether viral ones or non-viral ones. And that's the point of controversy. Lots of controversial reports are here, and for that we need to study maturation in more detail and define that in a way, in a quantitative way. Then we can deal with that better, and then we can interpret those results better. And then in cancer also, it's been suggested that maturation was inhibited, and that's why the cancer tumor cells are evading the immune system. And again, DC vaccine, as I mentioned before, are important for those. So we designed an experiment. I just bring them all fast. Two, generate dendritic cells the way we usually do from monocytes in the culture, then use three different ways of maturation. These are three common methods for maturing disease. TNF, LPS, and maturation CAR cell, which is basically combined of those pro-inflammatory cytokines that I mentioned that macrophages are mostly responsible for secreting at the location of injury. So these three are most common ones, and then we check these three different mature diseases versus immature ones for their function, their morphology, and their gene profile. And what's the first thing, just visual thing, see how these three cells are different. These are called in literature, all these three called mature dendritic cells, used as mature dendritic cells, but I guess not enough attention paid to the how different they are. So that's one of the messages you wanted to get out. These are really different cells, maybe different entities, and maybe some of those just induced, for example, tolerance. I'm just throwing this out. I'm not suggesting that for sure, but these are two different identities. Just a quick look shows how their profile, gene profile is different. TNF-alpha cells, LPS, maturation CAR cells. So, hugely different. And these are the events we want, and we were in discussion on this with Dr. Anwari Wahid before. These are the events we want to focus. These are the readouts we can have for disease, and these can be used for making a mathematical model. These are some receptors, like surface markers, that they definitely have some roles, but we may not know yet completely. CD83 is involved in antigen presentation, and that's one of the very well-known markers for maturation of disease. And as you see here, from immature one, TNF matured one, LPS matured, and maturation CAR cell matured, you see the trend. And based on this marker, I would say these cells are more mature than these. So maturity is basically a process with a trend from low, zero absence of maturity to fully mature disease. And for CD86, which is a co-stimulatory molecule, that's again very important. You see very consistent changes here as well, the same pattern we had here. And HLA-DR is one of those MHC class II proteins that antigen presentation happens with one of these molecules, like a family of, with this family, that when antigen goes to that MHC class and then presented. So we saw these three populations are really different in these markers that can be measured. And then with respect to the function, if you remember the function I mentioned, there were three key functions for dendritic cells that are changing during the maturation. One was the phagocytic capability. They lose this capability because they don't need that anymore. So, and this is shown here that this group lost that much more significant than the other two methods. So again, could be more mature. And for allostimulatory capacity or antigen presentation, which is indicative of antigen presentation, this is not so-called antigen presentation study, but this is indicative for that and shows that these are again more effective, and basically there is difference and these are better than those, the other two. And for chemotaxis, which is that migratory capacity, again, we see almost the same pattern that these are more mature with this function. And I talked some about that before, but I go through that. Why we want a mathematical model? Because we have problems. There are controversial reports. And we thought that this controversy just comes because of using different methods of maturation. The cells you are dealing with are different. That's why your results are different. If your cells are less mature, the possibility that a pathogen can overcome that maturity or inhibit that maturity is probably easier versus when your cells are highly mature, then maybe that pathogen cannot overcome that. So if you generate a cell in the culture that are fully mature, then there you get better chance for the result of your vaccine eventually. So that was our problem, that we thought maybe it could be addressed by defining a maturity index. Then we say, okay, with this threshold, you get like with that viral protein, this maturation will be inhibited. With this level of induction and index, that cannot be. So that was our target. And the same controversial report, whether on in vitro studies or in vivo trials. And the reason for that, as I said, we thought that could be the level of maturity and even type of your mature disease. And then solution, we thought, could a relative maturity index address that? And we hope that index define, like to standardize the method between us, like between different labs, says, okay, if you go by this method, you get this level of maturity you want, you get that. So to standardize the method, different methods, to compare results from different labs, to understand and evaluate the maturity level of each dendritic cell with each specific method we generated that with, and to predict, because of that, then we might be able to predict the results from our in vitro assays or even in vivo trials. So we probably don't have to go to the trial beforehand. We say, okay, with this index, you are not going to get a good result, so don't try that. Let's go for a better DC. And then to investigate that which aspect is actually important. Like if we have a more complicated model that shows different aspects of these cells, like these cells are more mobile than these groups, and there is an index for that, then we say, okay, the mobility factor of this index could predict that you get better results or lower results, or which, where is the threshold? So that was what we were thinking. And at the end, for that, I want to thank everybody who helped, my supervisor, specifically Dr. Van der Hart, here, video personnel, Dr. Williams from infectious disease helped with getting samples. Dr. Anwari too started this discussion, and he's going to complete this talk with some of the modeling he has done based on those events. And all those blood donors and the funding. I only have one more slide later, which is introductory to the next talk that Vahid is going to make, so I just give that before him. Thank you.
Why don't take the benefit of having immunologists here? So, where is it? Okay, I got it. Actually, I wasn't supposed to talk about the model, but I thought let's better to switch it. I'm going to talk about the mathematics. Then, in my talk, I'm going to talk about Ganger theory. So, why not Amir explain it? Why are you going to hear from me? Which I don't know anything about Ganger theory, or just I educate myself. Oh, sure, sure.
Is it better?
Much better. Okay. As Amir explained, that the whole idea is try to look at the process of maturation through system theoretic approach. If you look at this box, the whole procedure started from a foreign antigen and uptaking the foreign antigen, that's the operator, and recognizing the characteristic peptides of the target, the kind of analyzing the data process, and then migration moving toward the lymph node, and then antigen presentation, decision-making process. So that starts from DSS all the way to expert system. And as you can see here, we have five different characteristics for this maturation. So what we want to do, we want to see what is the more precise definition of maturation based on quantitative parameters. So these are, Anil talked about, this is the paper which introduced the semi-mature dendritic cell for the first time. Is that right? They didn't consider what is the level of this semi-mature dendritic cell. It's not mature because they don't show all the characteristics of the mature, and it's not immature because it shows some of them, but this is just immature, semi-mature. And based on this semi-mature concept of dendritic cell, I'm going to talk about the dendritic cell algorithm in artificial immune system, which is a kind of computer system algorithm. And now we thought that maybe we can introduce a kind of index, relatively maturity index, to quantize this parameter. So our goal, to be more precise, a DC at a different stage of this procedure. This procedure is time consuming. I think 48 hours? In the vitro, 48 hours. And in a different point of this procedure, at any stage of this procedure will be considered as a mature dendritic cell with a different level of maturity. We don't have any immature anymore. Dendritic cells are mature as soon as they start to take the antigen. But how far they can go, it depends on the level of the maturity. So our viewpoint is to introduce a number between 0 and 1 to identify this level of maturity. So I have to find the indicator of this maturity. The first three, Amir explained it perfectly, functionality, and the second three, the next three, are the markers. Is that right? So as you can see, this is reducing the endothelic. How much reduce we consider exact reduce? There are different reports. Or the second one, increasing the ability. We're talking about ability and increase. These are qualitative description. So how can we deal with this type of event, which are not like our classic mathematical event? Okay, these are kind of qualitative events, and the tool that we want to deal with is fuzzy logic, which is dealing with uncertainty and imprecision data. It is imprecision data, imprecision information actually. So we have these type of events which are actually fuzzy event, not the word fuzzy, the theory fuzzy logic event. And I want to skip this one. Probably you have seen this from me a lot, but this is a nice statement. If you lose your, the complexity rise, precision goes down, and the other way around, and as you see. So let's use uncertainty measure based on fuzzy logic. And just to a brief introduction to uncertainty by fuzzy logic. Fuzziness is a measurement of uncertainty, but it's not just based on randomness. It's based on lack of information. We don't know what's going on. Not in that we don't have. It's not about noisy data. It's about imprecision information. So it started from 65 by Zadeh and goes all the way down, and the theory right now is very well developed about possibility theory, but I'm going to apply is possibility theory. How to do this one by possibility theory? So we have a possibility theory is pretty much like probability theory in the concept, but instead we have probability distribution, we have possibility distribution, we have probability measurement, we have possibility measurement. So, but the difference is like that. In a probability distribution, we have just one set. But in a possibility distribution, we have two sets. One of them is called, as you can see, one of them is called necessity, another one is called possibility. And the probability of one event is bounded by possibility of that event and necessity of that event. But then the main concept, the main characteristic of the main idea, actually, things about this possibility and necessity is that the necessity of event plus the necessity of the complement is less than 1, and the probability of event plus the probability of complement should be greater or equal than 1, not exactly 1. So it gives us a kind of flexibility. So what we want to do, we want to set up the possibility distribution in our data that we have available. So they have data from the different lab experiments. Okay, let's go like this. Okay, these are the events that we have, the 5-6 events. And based on the data that they have, we put, based on data, there are several methods as a probability distribution. We have different methods to define possibility distribution over the data set. One of the most classic way is that if you fit the graph on a available data, and then if you can find a kind of two threshold, upper bound and lower bound for your graph, they can explain the possibility distribution and necessity distribution. These two bounded that graph, the bounded curve, should consider more than 98% of all the entity of the data. So, it's a classic method in possibility theory. We started to introduce, we set up the possibility distribution, all the data that we have, and then we introduced the maturity based on the union of all these fuzzy events, not just one of them. We put all of them together as a mature. This is the definition of mature dendritic cell. So by the way of qualitative utility function, this is the membership function that we have, that F is our general set, and these are our events. So at the end, we have the possibility of, we can calculate the possibility of each of these events. So for the different methods of maturation using cocktail oil, using cocktail or TNF or whatever, so we can calculate this one, the possibility of the qualitative event number 1, which was increasing the exposure. And based on the data using TNF, this quantity is 0.114. And using maturation cocktail is 0.76. We did the same for the other event. We had 6 events. We did all this together. And these events are not the same, doesn't have the same value. Some of them are more important, some of them less important. Functionality is more important than markers. So based on this weight function that we got from agreement, it just 30 seconds. So I think I have done the two years work in 10 minutes. It's just not that much. And one statement at the end. By applying similar algorithms for all the events, we end up with this idea that if you use TNF, having 0.21 degree of confidence that number is called degree of maturity. Where using maturation cocktail, you have 0.61 degree of confidence. So that's the indicator which says that this is that the dendritic cell using this one is more mature than the dendritic cell using that one. And that's it. Sorry, that's my talk for this year. Sorry.